But I felt really challenged by the Lord, and I don't know if this was just for me or for you, but I'm going to share it anyway because maybe it is for you, and if not, you know, take it or leave it. But I feel like sometimes we hold back when God wants to do something because we are afraid of looking stupid. I mean, we get all snotty and our makeup runs, or, you know, if you're a man, maybe you feel like, I don't want somebody to see me cry. I'm an ugly crier or whatever. I don't know. Or I don't want anybody to see me excited. I'm always stoic. You know, I got to hold it together. But I feel like God, and I just feel like God, he wants us to be okay with looking silly and looking stupid and getting snotty noses. And if it means experiencing him, and there is no greater thing. I mean, if what point is there in following a God that you can't ever experience his presence or know his closeness to you? There's nothing like it. Absolutely nothing like it. And when you do experience his presence and you get to go to that place, it's like nothing else matters. So I have no idea if my makeup is all over my face right now. Women, help me out. Am I good? Okay. But it doesn't matter, right? Because I don't care. It was worth it to just know his nearness to me and hear him talking to me and hear him just telling me how much he loves you. I mean, he does. And I know that, I mean, what we're talking about this morning, and I'll have to modify it because I won't have time now to tell you, and that's fine. I don't care. but it's funny because we're talking about falling, how to, I don't even remember. Thank you, falling this time. How to fall forward. Falling forward. I couldn't remember. And so I felt like when I was preparing this, and I was looking at what I felt like God wanted me to say, I thought, that sounds kind of harsh. That's a hard word. It's truth, but it's a hard word. And while we were singing, I just felt like God was saying, but I say these things because I love you. I love you. Like, I just so want you to experience, and he's talking to you. And me too, but like, I just so want you to experience me and all the fullness and everything I have for you. But we just hold on so tight to, like, you know, how we appear to others, or, you know, what life can bring us or what the world has. And if you experience his presence, you don't care anymore. And I think that's what he wanted to do, is just like, give you a little bit of himself, just a glimpse, because that was nothing, right? And he just wants to give you a little glimpse of what it is to be in his presence so that you go, I'm ruined for anything less.
Amen.
Right? Nothing less. I don't care what I have to give up or let go of, because nothing compares. And if you don't know that, if you haven't ever felt that, I believe he wants to show you that. You know, so I don't believe that he's done, and I just want to encourage you to keep listening, right? Because he's speaking. So let's see. I'm trying to figure out where we can go here. Okay, so I'm just going to get to the point. So, is that okay? Because I don't have much time. Let's start with the scripture. So, just in case you're wondering, we here at Mercy Vineyard Church are living a passionate mission to love, grow, and go for the greater glory of God. That's what we're here for. So, and we're passionate, so. So let's talk. Let's look at Galatians 6. And Michael, I'm going to jump around a little bit, so I'm sorry. Galatians 6, and we're going to start in verse 4. It says, pay careful attention to your own work, for then you will get the satisfaction of a job well done. And you won't need to compare yourself to anyone else. For we are each responsible for our own conduct. And if you look at these words in context, just a little aside, I believe Paul is referring to our journey with Christ when he says work. Okay? So when he's talking about our work or what we're each responsible for, he's talking about our journey with Christ. Okay? Because right before this, he tells us to help others who are overcome by a sin. So then in verse 7, let's continue verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So we've been talking about following with style, and Lee talked about last week how the fact that the gospel is enough to cover our sins. Gospel's enough, right? Everyone fails, so you're not alone. There's no one in this room who has not sinned, who has not failed, right? And we also learned that Satan may be involved, but he is not in control. Amen. So he does not have the final say. And that we need to drink heavily from God's grace. We need to pray for him to use our failures and turn them into successes. So in that, okay, so we know that everybody fails and that we're all responsible for our own conduct. We just read that in Galatians, right? But what do we tend to do? It started in the garden. What we tend to do is blame shift, don't we? So when God came to Adam and said, you know, where are you? What have you been doing? And Adam, you know, it turns out he had eaten the fruit. And what does Adam say to God? The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the fruit from the tree, right? And I ate. So he blames God, and he blames his woman. So wrong on so many levels, right? But he implies that he would not have sinned had God not given him this woman. Had God not put, you know. So that's kind of bold, I think. We think we're all beyond that, right? But we've said or thought things like that, haven't we? I wouldn't lose my temper if my family wouldn't get on my last nerve. If my kids would just put their stuff away, I wouldn't have to yell at them all the time. Right? I wouldn't struggle with, you know, gossip if the people around me didn't tell me so much stuff. I've heard that. I'm not kidding. I mean, come on. We all do it. Especially in relationships, when we sin, when we offend someone else, we look at what the other person did to bring us to that point. But ultimately, we are responsible for the way that we act towards someone else. Ultimately. It doesn't matter what they've done to you. You are responsible, right? Growing up, part of growing up, and we're here to grow, right? Love, grow, and go. And part of growing up is learning to take responsibility for our own actions. We tell our kids that all the time, right? Little kids will immediately deny that they did anything, even if they did it right in front of you. They will, you know, take the cookie and eat the cookie, and then you go, did you eat that cookie? Uh-uh. No. Or they'll point to the other kid in the room. He did it, right? Immediately. That's our nature, is to immediately deny. But as we grow, most of us learn that we have to own up. And in a lot of ways, the difference between a child and an adult is taking responsibility for your own actions and for your own life, right? And 1 Corinthians 13:11 tells us to put childish things behind us. So here's what we need to remember today. This is our main point. Ownership and repentance bring growth, but excuses and blame leave us stuck. you know, in our culture, we don't necessarily like for right and wrong to be defined. But when we submit to Christ, we are submitting to His way. So anytime we decide that we want to do something our way instead of His way, that would be sin, right? So, and we don't like that word either. But it's truth. So we see lots of examples of people in the Bible who were held responsible for their poor choices and for their sin, right? It didn't mean God stopped loving them. It didn't mean they stopped having a relationship with Him. It just meant God said, I love you, but you did this, right? And that's a loving response for Him to do that. That's not a punitive. It's loving. It's discipling. It's growing us, right? Just like we do with our own children. And we like to blame shift, and we make excuses. And when we make excuses for our behavior, it keeps us in self-pity. It keeps us in addiction. It keeps us in just making stupid choices. But if we, you know, our attitudes and our actions are on us. And God is not asking us to own up so that He can point at us and accuse us and, you know, like I said, but it's for our health and healing, right? So we have to see repentance as a gift. It is a gift. So let's talk practicals. What does that look like? What does it look like to repent and own up? And the first thing is to confess to God, and if necessary, to someone else. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. And I really believe that confession is a lost art. We see it as something religious or rule-based, and that's not what it's meant to be. It's really meant to be healing. You know, we try to save face. We want to present ourselves in a certain way, so we don't want to say what we do or struggle with or think. Ooh, that gets ugly up there sometimes, right? But have you ever noticed how when we confess something to someone else, there's times that I say to Lee, I have to tell you the ugly thought that's in my head. And when I do, like, this is ugly. And I tell him, and he says, yep, that's ugly. But it loses its power. And we can pray, and it goes away. Right? But if I just hold on to that and go, it's ugly, and I don't want anybody to see that, then it's stuck. It gets stuck in there. Right? Confession is healing. It's healing because we're acknowledging our weakness to God. We're acknowledging our need for Him when we say, here's me in all my ugliness, right? And it opens the door for Him to freely work in our hearts and lives. So it feels, I think sometimes we think that repentance and all those things is kind of somewhat confining. Like, and we got to do things a certain way, and God expects us to be a certain way. Well, yeah, He does call us to be holy, but when we walk in His way, it's so freeing. Because then we don't have to figure out what's right and wrong. We don't have to figure out what we should or shouldn't do. We don't have. We can just be free in Him, right? And when we share with someone else, not only does it lose its power, but it we're less likely to continue in it, you know, if we're in a besetting sin, right? Because if the enemy can isolate you, he can keep lying to you over and over again. And another person can help you see the truth more clearly, right? I mean, let's just look at Proverbs 28:13. It says, people who conceal their sins will not prosper. It's just right there. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And if your sin affects another person, apologize and make things right. A couple weeks ago, we talked about walking humbly, right? A humble confession and apology, name the offense, and then take responsibility for it. So, like we said, how someone else treats us is not license for us to sin against them. It's not saying, you know, Hudson, I yelled at you because you disobeyed me again. I'm sorry. Sorry I yelled at you, and if you would have just picked up your stuff, right? That's not an apology. That's not, I didn't mean, I was just picking something.
Always
his stuff. It's true. But it's more like saying, I was wrong. I should not have yelled at you. I was wrong, and I'm sorry. Period. Right? No buts. It sucks, and it's hard. But it is healing for you and for the other person. Just own up. Right? Man up. Woman up. Next, if you're dealing with a pattern of sin, ask God to help you get to the root. Past hurts or trauma can cause us to inadvertently hurt others, or it can cause us to self-sabotage. Sometimes we just get stuck in something that we can't seem to get out of. And a lot of times that has to do with past hurts. And if we deal with them, though it's painful to walk through that, it can change a lot of our behavior. I know someone who suffered sexual abuse as a child that was never addressed. And this person loves Jesus with all of their heart, but tends to be quite a bit dysfunctional in relationships, and they cause pain without even realizing it. They don't know they're doing it because they're certainly not trying to hurt anybody. But they don't realize how the pain of their past has changed how they act towards others. And sometimes we need to get to the root. Jesus can and does do instant, complete healing, but we live in a fallen world. And sometimes we have to do deep work. We just do. We have to go to counseling, or we need a support group to help us change unhealthy patterns. Because we can't just get rid of one behavior or pattern and expect to be able to walk forward without any issues. We have to replace it with something, right? We need healthy patterns. We need healthy relationships, and we need to make an exchange there. And sometimes we can't do that on our own. And so if we can explore the why behind what we do, with that understanding, we're greater equipped to heal. And it'll allow you to unlearn the things that you just thought were normal, right? We all grow up with a particular idea of normal. And when you're a child, you don't really know what normal is other than what's in your house. What happens here is normal. But it's not always true, right? It's not always healthy. So what you think might be completely and totally normal may be completely and totally unhealthy. And God wants to help change those patterns for you and bring health and wholeness, right? And it hurts a lot to walk through it. It does, because you have to explore painful things. But Jesus promises that he's there with us the whole time. He walks with us the whole way, and there's no pain or grief or suffering that he has not felt. And he's in it with you. And then the last thing is, Lee talked about this some last week, is get accountability. Because none of us are as strong as we think we are. 1 Corinthians 10:12 tells us, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. So set up some safeguards, right? If you have a tendency to fall when you're in a certain place, don't hang out there. If you have a tendency to fall when you're alone with your phone or your computer, get a filter. If you have a tendency to sin or gossip when you're around certain friends, take some time away from them. Or invite them in to help you keep you accountable. I've noticed we've been gossiping quite a bit here. We need to hold each other accountable. Right? Get an accountability partner if you need to. I mean, we talk about this here a lot, but that's because it's so important. Who are you going to confess to if you don't have somebody to talk to that you trust? Right? It's well worth it. So you want someone who is trustworthy and who is compassionate, but also someone who's not afraid to tell you the truth. If your accountability partner just listens and goes, okay, that's okay, that's okay. You'll do better. It's okay. But never challenges you, you need a new one. Because people who love you will challenge you. They will. So, a long time ago, I was in a pattern of sin. It was a season in my life where I fell into the same sin over and over and over. And at first, my response was sorrow and repentance. But over time, I started to get discouraged. I know none of you have ever been there. And it just felt hypocritical to go back to God over and over, repenting. I'm sorry, God. I won't do it again. And then I did, right? And that felt hypocritical. So it became easy to just justify my behavior. Because after all, I had no one in my faith community that I could trust or talk to. So that's not my fault. And I made excuses. And I blamed my circumstances. And I now, of course, all hindsight's 20/20. I kept myself stuck and in a pattern that I could have gotten out of so much more quickly if I would have just confessed to someone. So as soon as I did that, I finally found somebody I could trust, and I confessed to them. And the behavior stopped. Why? Because someone else knew. So I knew they'd be asking me, how's that going? Right? And also because they responded with grace and love and compassion towards me and was willing to walk through it with me. And I eventually went to counseling, and I discovered the why behind my behavior. I experienced healing from past trauma in order to get to the root of that experience and know, okay, oh, now I know why. Not that that excuses it, but it could open the door for healing. And then I pursued relationships with people who could and would encourage me and would speak truth to me, even when I didn't want to hear it. There were times I do not want to hear it. Just let me be in this mess, right? I don't know why we do that, but we do. And maybe you're in a pattern of sin today and you need to confess. And maybe it's not that, but maybe you have some gray areas in your life and God is saying today, you're doing things your way instead of my way. Sometimes we do things that, you know, if we opened our Bible, we might not see, you know, oh, it doesn't say anything in here about that particular thing being a sin. So I think I'm okay. But if we're not submitting that area to God and we're not letting Him make that call, then are we really, truly, is He Lord of our life? So maybe you tend to blame others when you act hurtful or selfish, or maybe you're just letting yourself get into unwise practices and you need someone to check in with you and help you break these habits? I don't know. All I know is this morning I feel like God is calling us to take a step forward in Him. I feel like there's people in this room that have been walking the same path for too long, and God is saying, when are you gonna move over? When are you gonna take that step closer? Stop doing things your own way. Because I have so much more for you, and you're wasting time. You know you're gonna come eventually. Don't we always just, I don't know. It seems like a lot of times we fight it and fight it and fight it, and eventually we come around and we do things His way, and then we go, why didn't we do this sooner? Because it's so much better. So why not do it sooner? But I feel like that there's people here that God wants, He just, all that we experienced during your worship was to let you know, first of all, how incredibly in love with you He is, so that when He says, would you just do things my way, that you'd say yes. And in all of this, how we see God is huge. So if you see God as angry or demanding or all about His rules, right, you might do what He says for a time, but most likely you're just going to end up angry yourself. And it's not going to stick. But if you understand God as loving, compassionate, gracious, and merciful like He is, you'll do what He asks out of gratitude and love for Him because of how much He loves you, right? The Bible says we love because He first loved us. So it will feel like when we understand who He is, it will feel like freedom to confess and to be accountable rather than stifling. God really does want good things for you. He wants health and wholeness and freedom for you. And if you're struggling to see God in this way, I want to encourage you to get prayer today. God wants you to see Him for who He is. So we're going to pray. If you are, go ahead and everybody just kind of close your eyes and let's do old school. Close your eyes, bow your heads. Let's be old school for just a minute. We can be open and snotty-nosed and all that in front of each other too, but let's just take a moment with God. If you are here and you're in that camp that I talked about where when I said God is, or maybe you even sense it during worship, that God is calling you, He is pursuing you, He is drawing you into a different journey with Him, into more intimacy, into greater, and it's going to require some changes in your life. And when I talked about that, you knew it was you. And nobody's looking. Would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Awesome. Thank you, God. Okay, let's pray. Holy Spirit, would you just come and shower your love on these people who are raising their hands to you? Would you just envelop them in your love? Thank you for pursuing us. Thank you for loving us enough to draw us the way that you do. And God, I pray that you would help us to see you the way that you really are. And that we would be ruined for anything less but intimacy with you. God, would you draw us in so close to your heart that it doesn't even feel like a sacrifice to give up the things that you're asking us to give up, to change the things that you're asking us to change. Bring your kingdom, God, we pray. I pray that you would help, that you would even make it easy for each of these people to find someone to love them and walk with them through it, through the change, through the things you're asking them to do. Give them the boldness to reach out and ask for that help when they need it. God, help us learn to show our weaknesses so that we can become strong in you. Help us to learn to be vulnerable so that you can change us. Thank you, God. We love you. Thank you, God.